Aether and Dark Saga is a dark fantasy audio fiction. It contains themes of violence and is intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Chapter 2, Part 4. Meanwhile, elsewhere in Arn, far into the furthest reaches of Alantir herself, atop the eastern edge of Hadagar's teeth, cut into the very body of the mountain. Cuthcoolin. The holy temple of Galador's Orn, the headquarters of its faith and seat of the most prominent clergy members. Pilgrims and followers alike come here to give thanks and praise to the protectorate god, offering up tithes in exchange for blessings and wisdom. The steps leading to its huge gates are many and treacherous for those who dare brave it. Though the church's own guard patrol the way, doing duty to their god, many still fall prey to the nomadic Haigwallen or the other lesser-known cannibalistic tribes who roam Alantir's mountains. Though the surroundings are icy and laden with thick snow, the temple itself remains untouched. Both intricate and exquisite carvings depicting the protectorate god cover the building in its entirety, floor after floor, level after level, reaching up to the pinnacle of the mountain. From its highest chamber, on days without snow-filled clouds which are few and far between, Ballora's capital, the Drakenweald, is visible far, far to the north. So too can much of Kalimdor's eastern fringe be seen. Yet, as much as these wondrous views entice our attention, we go down. Down past the workrooms of monks and scribes. Down past the living quarters. Down past the nave of the temple itself. Down past its ancient vaults. Down into depths unseen to all but a trusted few. A pearlescent sheen upon the walls reflects the light from the runes carved into the floor. The stone of this circular holding, a dark blue, remains unseen beneath the glowing brilliance of these etchings. Galadoran imagery encircles the room's border, a ring of holy power maintained by those there present. Above is shrouded in a darkness so complete that no light from below penetrates its shifting blackness. A secret remains concealed there, hidden beneath the depths of this churning sea of shadows. In this place of duality, of both light and dark, danger and protection, stands the Eidolon, the head and ruler of the Galadoran Church, Marius Luthane. His balding head is bowed in prayer as he awaits in contemplation, his focus solely upon the task ahead.
Excellency.
Ulfan.
The martyrs are ready.
Bring them forward. His will be done.
His will be done. Come, come.
Draped in uniform robes of powdered blue, four individuals are ushered forth. Their identities hidden beneath featureless silver masks, marked and discolored from past usage.
You are each blessed of the Protectorate. Fear not the trials which await you. Think only of the place assured by his side for your sacrifice. Dwell only upon the service you do today in his name. Think only of the lives you now protect. Think of those who are spared the suffering because you will endure it for them.
Please, I don't want to do this. Yes. I can't. I can't.
You can't change your mind, Laura.
Please, no.
Hush, child.
I can't hear them, please. I don't want to. I'm with child.
Truly? You were not informed of this. So, perhaps an exception could be made.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Excellency.
No, no. Do not offer me thanks, my child. It was not my decision.
Praise to the Protector, then.
Indeed. Give thanks to Galador, for a place will await you and your child.
No!
Hush now. Go with my blessing.
You can't.
The Eidolon waves in a dismissive gesture, and the priests hold the woman fast. Her brief struggle is ended by a closed fist before the priests drag away her limp body. Bare and dirty feet trailing, she is pulled by her arms and gown into position. The remaining three are docile. Standing at the western, eastern, and northern markings, they remain still and calm.
Excellency, I thought they were all subdued.
Ulfa, next time more Veridan root. Now, the hour approaches fast, so leave me.
With his priests exiting the chamber, Moriah Slufane, Eidolon of the Galadoran Church, closes his eyes. Raising his arms slowly, he begins to chant, drawing upon the holy energies contained within the room. In unison with his movements, the martyrs begin to rise from the ground. A stray candle left in error rises alongside them. Though this object is under no control, it continues to ascend at an ever-increasing pace. Within meters of the darkness, its light is snuffed as the wax, wick, and candle holder turn to dust. And then so too does that dust disappear, leaving no trace of its existence. As the four continue in their upwards journey, the shadowy mass appears to rescind. Black, twisting roots are visible for the briefest of glimpses, as they sliver backwards, like serpents fleeing an eagle.
Sanguis por sanguis, mortis por mortis, ladak veladar.
With the final word of the incantation spoken, light explodes from beneath the Eidolon, engulfing the room in brilliance. The darkness, dispersing like fresh water splashed upon an oil-coated ground. And there, in what was once hidden beneath shadow, a ring of stone, a circle made of thick cube-like segments, each heavily engraved with runic magic, the lettering filled with a fiery light. Suspended within the wheel, hands and feet encased, old far beyond the ages of mortal men. A man. His eyes are gone, though the sockets are still black from the time of their removal, burnt and cauterized by heated steel. His skin, though wrinkled, is marked with scars, a map work of torture endured in earlier times.
Miriam.
Speak, Hydalo. Ask what you will.
I wish to continue our talk. Now, speak of the Ancient Ones. What are their movements?
As you will. Verkov is still amongst the northern forests. His Hellion wreak havoc upon the Beloran armies who have yet again fallen back to Havarum Bridge. It still remains unclear if he does this at the behest of Balran, or for his own motives.
What of Ithilak?
The Lord of the Kanbanai. I see him amongst soldiers of Kalimdor, survivors perhaps, though why he is with them remains unclear. His aura disrupts my visions.
Does Anshar still defy Balran?
The crone of the Heta almost has full control of Eteria. Some of the Norman castles and garrisoned outposts are defiant. Greywatch, Valadradis, and Kerinspire have yet to fall. But it is only a matter of time, and she remains ever patient. In truth, her only rival is the Gorgoth. The fear of Seferial keeps Anshar ever watchful.
The Shriek, is she still?
Seferial remains as ever chaotic and unpredictable. I cannot follow where she goes, and like the others, her will is unbound to this plane. And she may very well have left for Belgarth. As you know, my devices were found by Valmaris.
Ah yes, the skulls.
Indeed. I have no influence there now, and the Ebonstone Keep and its bloodlands are under a new ruler, as is the way of the demon worlds.
I see. A pity, but one beyond our control.
I sense you wish to know of Balran, but another matter is more pressing to you at this time.
I fear you wish the information more than I, Aenirion.
You cannot hide your interest from me, Marius. I can see your desires, feel them as if they were my own.
Do not forget, it is by my will you are kept here. Nezrakah has long awaited your tainted soul, Magus.
My apologies, Eidolon. I only wish to offer you further knowledge.
Then do so. Speak to me of Balran.
The Grand Hall of Kalimdor's Palace. Its once kingly throne room now lies in ruins. Its expensive tapestries, gilded and exquisite finery, all lay strewn amongst the scenes of butchery. Central to the room, upon a heap, atop a hill of broken bodies, skinned and piled in such a number that hundreds could be guessed in its counting. Resting upon his new throne, one of his own making, sits the Conqueror, the Lord of the Gorgothi, Balran.
an ancient one and spawn of Nezrakah. Once a prisoner within the ancient stones of Arimar, now no longer. No more an unwilling servant trapped in servitude to that abomination who sought to make pawns of him and his brethren. And now, no longer restrained by the constraints of mortal vessels. Since the demise of the half-breed Astaroth, the gigantic overlord had feasted and devoured, rallying thousands to his banner in the sacking of Kalimdor. He has indulged his need for human bone marrow to the heights of excess. He has drank deep upon the essence of lesser demons summoned in offering to Astaroth's own underlings. And those very same underlings now serve him. Splashing now echoes within the chamber, bouncing off the polished granite walls high into the ceiling above. A pair of booted feet slap with each approaching step, rippling the blood which has pooled inches deep throughout this once beautiful place.
Hail to thee, Balrog, Lord of the
Vardok. What tidings do you bring?
News of your armies, Great One.
Then say your words, my champion.
We have gathered sufficient vessels to bring about another of your legions. We await your choosing in the matter, Great One.
That is pleasing to me. Perhaps it is time to call upon the Spite. Your own warriors are hungry for battle, are they not?
Always, my king. Always.
Then call them forth. What of my brethren?
Swarms of flesh-eater hellion have overrun the northern regions. They are impeding our own advances into the northern lands. Vergulf himself remains to be seen, however. My own thoughts are that he is hunting the Shrike. She would serve as the immediate threat to him. Though, your own judgment on the Hellion Prince will be far more accurate, my king.
Without doubt. What of the Kamnai? And Unshariel?
Ithilak is elusive as ever, though it is only a matter of time before he is revealed unto us. As for the Crone, she now has full control of the Western lands. The mortals have fallen to her magic and have sworn to her cause. She appears to be mirroring your own great plan, my king.
Ah, I have no doubt she believes she can best me. For all her cunning, she is foolish to oppose my will. The lower vaults. Have they been breached yet?
Your forgiveness, my lord, but the lower vaults remain sealed. Whatever sorcery these mortals...
Magic's bested by that mongrel Astaroth! I have exhausted the resources here. Flesh of mortals and newborn weaklings is not enough. I require more, Vardok. Do what you must. But you will gain access.
I will see to it, my king.
You dare turn your back on the Gorgoth?
Forgive me, my king. I only wish to do your bidding.
I had not finished with you. There's still the matter of the lodestone.
My king, we have not found it yet. I have thousands of Skelgarin searching. Again, it is only a matter of time before he is found.
The minions are not enough. Summon the Spite and lead them in the search for both the bearer and the stone.
I do not know where to begin the search, my lord.
To the north is Vargolf. The west, Anshariel reigns. And in the south, only ruin. You will go east.
Your will, my king.
Before you go.
Balran stretched out his left arm, the pale blue skin rippling with dense muscle and thick corded veins. Using his right hand, he sunk a clawed finger into the flesh of his forearm, drawing black viscous fluid from the wound. The dark blood seemed to flow with purpose, like sands filling an hourglass. Only this was not in the figure of egg-shaped glass of the timepiece, but instead of that of a spear. A pole arm with a jagged and lengthy tip. The head more akin to a dirk, and as dark as the blood it had formed from, barbed in the most cruel and peculiar fashion, it was certain to cause the most grievous of wounds. A sadistic weapon, to be sure.
Obsidian anvil in Ulugurath. Take it. And spread misery in my name.
You do me a great honor, my king.
Do not fail me, Vardok. Or you will feel the pain of its replacement.
The Gorgoth knew that the threat of Valgaridon's lash would suffice to keep this one in line.
Go. Do not return without the bearer and the stone.
Your will be done, my king. For the Gargothi.
That was Chapter 2, Part 4 of Averyn Dark Saga. Do you want to hear the next episode a week earlier than the regular feed? Do you want exclusive lore and bonus content? Well, if so, please consider joining the Patreon. From as little as $2, you can have all of those things, as well as the warm, fuzzy feeling inside knowing that you've helped pay for the hosting fee, the fee for a voice actor, or even some sound effect packs. Please, consider joining me. And look for a link in the show notes.